What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. Hope everyone is having an amazing, bright, and really inner peaceful day. That's all I can wish for you.
That's all anyone can hope for. This week, strangely, sped on by. Like, when it was Tuesday, I was like, it's only Tuesday. But now it's Thursday, and that's a great feeling.
I have just, like, excitement about what lies ahead. Because, you know, tomorrow, for the first time in literally 8 months, we're getting Botox.
Yes.
Which is just, I can't wait to not move my face
Say
on Monday.
Say goodbye to this forehead, bitches.
And I think I'm also going to get some lips.
Ooh, I love when you do your lips.
You know, I sometimes, it's like you go shopping, you go for one thing, and then you, like, leave with the whole store. I think I'm going to leave with Dr. Gheezy's whole office. Like, I just want all of her new and interesting procedures.
That's so interesting. Okay, now that you mentioned, like, we're just shopping around, I think I'm going to do some, like, stuff on the tummy, like the M-Sculpt that she has, or Instalipo.
I just feel like, you know, I'm beyond help from a machine.
Yeah, right now.
The only thing that can save me is God.
Right now, today, like, I wish I had gone, like, a few months ago when, right, you know, I might have seen the difference, but I've got some work to do in the stomach department right now.
I just love plastic
and
surgery.
And it's, like, and it's not the kind that, like, someone could do for me. Like, I need to, like, get to the gym.
I just love
plastic. Not even, I was going to say the Peloton, but, like, I can't. The Peloton, my stomach just sits there. That's my issue with spinning. Like, my stomach just hangs there while my legs are working so hard.
I just love plastic surgery. Like, I feel like I go in phases where I'm like, it's toxic, or, like, you know, it's bad for my self-esteem. But, like, right now I'm just, like, so excited about waking up on Saturday with, like, a new face.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. It's interesting that you bring up plastic surgery because I'm watching Love Island right now, and, like, the people, specifically the women, have, like, perfect bodies. Like,
really?
Absolutely perfect. Like, not
a, can't relate.
Not a flab out of place.
Can't relate on any level.
And they all have big fake titties.
Oh.
And
I love a BFT.
Yeah, I love a BFT. But, like, it's just so crazy to watch. It's just, like,
perfect
really
bodies. Make,
like, perfect bodies with perfect titties. And it's, like, I don't know. It's also sort of, like, making me appreciate my own titties, because, like, these girls are, like, rocks.
Right.
You know, and sometimes you just want to tuck them away.
No, sometimes it's, like, people are so different. And, you know, perspective is everything, because, like, there are people who just, like, want big titties. And then when you have big titties naturally, I feel like you, 9 times out of 10, like, you hate them. Like,
yeah.
And I cannot wait to, like, be done having children and done breastfeeding so I can get a reduction to literally a double A. I want to wear a trainer bra, and I want to get a reduction and a lift. Like, it's just, it's funny how boobs are, like, universal, and, like, everyone has their own. There's no, like, one beautiful boob, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's just been interesting. But I also find that it's so, like, I don't think that there is a natural breast on that show. And I've been noticing it more and more when I shop online too. Like, every single model in the photos with the clothes has fake titties. And that doesn't, like, tell me anything about how it's going to look on me.
That's so true.
You know what I mean?
It's so true, because
we need, like, titty diversity. Like, it's tough.
It's tough. And you know what? Like, I feel like 9 times out of 10 when I'm shopping and I like a shirt, like, I don't get it because of how it fits on my tits.
Yeah. And because, like, I don't even bother, like, when I, like, because I just can't relate.
Right.
I cannot relate.
No, I agree. Like, we need some natural titties to make a comeback.
Yeah. And I love the big fake titties, and it's, like, so enjoyable to watch. It just, like, has me in my thoughts.
Yeah, about your own titties.
Yeah.
I love that.
Something to think about. But I agree. I love plastic surgery. I'm so excited to get this forehead in check.
And it's also the holidays this weekend, so it's just going to be, like, a nice, relaxing weekend filled with, like, family and food, which is, like, pretty much been my weekend, like, every weekend for the last 6 months. But I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Rosh Hashanah, though it does start the countdown to the YKB.
We are... Is it next weekend, Yom Kippur?
It's in the middle of the week. At least that means, like, we get a day off.
A day off. Okay. I am so dreading Yom Kippur. Like, it's been weighing heavy on my mind. It's been weighing really heavy.
It's going to be a rough one.
I'm like, actually, I should eat a lot this weekend. Yeah.
In anticipation. Actually, you shouldn't. Like, the science says that stretches out your stomach and then you'll actually be hungrier.
My stomach is stretched out already.
If you could make your stomach a little smaller, you might be less hungry. I think you'll be hungry either way.
No, I think
do whatever you want.
My stomach is definitely already stretched out. I don't think I have to worry about that. But we have a fabulous show for you guys today. So much to discuss.
We do have a fabulous show.
As usual.
But something is very unfabulous about today.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Theo. The absence.
It's literally like Emma Roberts on Fabulous.
Yeah. His absence is glaring.
He had a busy schedule.
Did he want to share his statement that he prepared about why he didn't show up to work?
He said, Auntie, you're getting really clingy and it's proven to be too much for me. I can no longer handle it. So I will only be coming into the office once a week from now on.
I know, like, based on the way that he wrote that, that you were over his shoulder telling him what to write. Because I know that he would never say that to me. Yeah. Do you see us yesterday? Two peas in a pod.
No, totally. It just me and Ben got a late start. So he was still walking while I had to leave. So, like, I just couldn't wait for him.
His schedule was, like, running behind.
Backed up.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, I just think it's worth noting that today is my 3-year wedding anniversary.
Mazel tov!
And, like, all my friends have been, like, sending me, like, pictures and videos for my wedding. And my friend Abe sent me the funniest video of, like, me and Ben on the chair, which... If you've never been to a Jewish wedding, it's like you put the bride and the groom on in chairs and like you hoist them into the air. And it's actually very, very scary because it's just like all these people like picking you up and throwing you and they like don't really care if you fall, you know? And this video was so funny. Me and Ben, I guess I didn't remember, like we didn't even enjoy. We were screaming, get us down. We're falling. We're falling. It's like, it looks like the most unhappy couple. Like if you had shown me that video, I would have been like, these people are not going
to
last.
Oh, I've got to see. I have to check my time hop today. That's so exciting.
Yes, yeah, September 17th.
So do you have big, big plans?
Well, Ben and I did majorly fuck up in making a reservation for dinner somewhere. So at this present moment, we don't have a dinner reservation. And I really wanted to go to Restoration Hardware Rooftop, which I haven't been to yet, but I heard it's like fabulous because it's outside and it's outdoor dining and it's like all fabulous, but they were all booked. So like if someone's listening to this who can like help me get a reservation there.
Yeah, someone, let's plan a nice evening for Claudia and Ben.
Please, like we are fucked. But honestly, like we went out to dinner last night. I went to Gemma, by the way, I wanted to talk about it, which I always say is my favorite restaurant in the city. It's in the Bowery Hotel, and they have a huge outdoor dining usually, and so I thought that would be a good place to go outdoor dine, and I was right. I just have to say, like, if you are looking for somewhere to eat, it was so fabulous. Like, perfect service. They are working on a limited menu because, like, just operations have been, you know,
changed.
But it was a really fabulous evening, and it was a beautiful night, and if you're looking for a place, Gemma at the Bowery Hotel. I love that restaurant.
Ooh, okay, good to know. I'm going to dinner with my friends tonight. We're not going to Gemma, but... I'll add it to my list of alfresco experiences that I would just love to experience.
That you would recommend to a friend.
That I would recommend to a friend.
So today we got to recap so much. The Beverly Hills reunion and season ended last night. We also had the ACM Awards last night, which I have many, many thoughts on, along with just other things happening in the news.
Yes. Yeah, so should we just get right into it?
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I mean, I could wax on about Theodore Fichemin.
You could.
I could.
You have.
I would. But I think it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Okay, let's get into it.
Let's get right into it. Starting with the ACMs. Last night, the ACMs, unclear, it's the Academy of Country Music. I was like, American Country Music.
Oh.
The Academy of Country Music Awards were on. They were supposed to happen in Las Vegas in April. Your girls were supposed to be there.
We had tickets to Kelly Clarkson the day before.
Your girl already got a dress and it was like so sensational.
So did I.
And then obviously things happened. They pushed it back to September thinking that that's when it would happen. It didn't happen in the way that they expected, but they still put on a show from three different locations, the Ryman, the Grand Ole Opry, and the Bluebird, just sort of like taking us around the town of Nashville.
I thought that the way that they had set it up virtually was absolutely sensational.
It's so strange because I actually loved the show. And they were just filming different performances from three different places. And it's like, I just absolutely love country music that I don't even know if the show itself or the production was like better or worse than say the VMAs. Like maybe I just like hate the VMAs.
No, I'm sorry. I actually, like you were being, when we were watching the VMAs, like you were definitely being negative Nancy. And I feel like I was really positive about it. And I thought the VMAs were good. But seeing what the ACMs did, I thought it was such a better setup, like way less confusing. I thought that the ACM integration of Google Maps was actually very smart and fun and cool and fresh. What I liked also was, yes, I do like country music more, but I didn't feel like anyone was lip syncing at the country music.
Yeah.
The ACMs, and I felt like almost everyone was on a track at the VMAs.
And the performances were live as they were happening. And the VMAs were confusing because we know a lot of it was pre-recorded. Anyways, that's where the comparisons like And for me, I was just wondering if I was just enjoying it because I love country music and I could just sit and watch these performances all day.
No, I feel like the ACMs, like, have been watching what every virtual award show is doing and just did it better. And I feel like the next award show, whatever it's going to be, is going to be even better. But I thought the ACMs were so well done, clean and organized, and everyone showed up. That's the thing. It's like the VMAs, there's so much politics in pop music, and it's like only certain stars. Like, it was literally the Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande show at the VMAs.
Right, and they won everything, even the awards that they didn't really deserve.
Like, not everyone shows up, and the nominations are predicated on who shows up, where I feel like the ACMs are a little bit more reputable in country music, where it's like everyone gets nominated, everyone shows up, and it's like it's a respect thing. So, like, I was just so excited that literally everyone I love performed. Every time I looked up, it was another performance that I loved.
Yeah, I, like, usually I watch the first half of a show, and then all my favorite performers have gone, and I go watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but, right, like, there were so many coming up that I still wanted to see.
Exactly. I thought it was just, I just want to give, like, a major kudos. Like, I thought it was so fabulous.
So let's talk about the winners, and then we'll talk about our favorite performances.
Okay, yes.
Or least favorite.
Yeah, no, we just have to talk about Taylor Swift's outfit.
Thank you. Oh, yes,
we have
do.
To talk about
okay,
it. I'm sorry, we do.
I'm so glad that you can see it.
What do you mean I can see it? I have eyes.
Okay, here are the winners. Entertainer of the Year was a tie between Thomas Rhett and Carrie Underwood, the first ever tie.
This is some bullshit. Like, I'm sorry. Bull fucking shit. Duty caca poo poo, okay? Such a disgrace. First of all, awards are meant to be won. They're not meant to be tied. So, like, the concept of a tie really bothers me. And the concept of a tie where one of the winners is a woman, where it's like they're constantly getting backlash for, like, not being inclusive and not being equal, especially when it comes to Entertainer of the Year. It's like usually there's not even a woman nominated. I just felt like this was a huge slap in the face to Carrie Underwood and to, like, women in country. And it's like, if you're gonna give it to her, give it to her. And if you're not gonna give it to her, don't give it to her. But, like, this fake ass tie. And to be honest, it was a weird year, so I don't feel like anyone really stood out. But I certainly don't think Thomas Rhett stood out.
No, I mean, it's so crazy how much I love country music, and, you know, I listen to it all, and Thomas Rhett is at the top of the charts, and, like, I just, like, really don't subscribe.
Like, his music comes up on all my playlists, and I know a lot of his music, and it's good, it's fine. I don't think that he was Entertainer of the Year, first of all, and he's just not my particular jam, but I know he's, like, a lot of people's jams. But I just thought, like, first of all, if the ACMs were smart, this was, like, a weird year where there wasn't a clear winner, and they should have given it to a woman just so they can, like, address the issue, where it's like all the female artists are constantly talking about how, like, country radio, country music, and, like, the country awards just are not equal. So it's like, just give it to a woman.
So, but then you're saying, say the Academy voted, and I guess maybe they have an even number of academics.
Yeah.
And it was a tie. And you're saying, just give it to her. So, but you're kind of, like, being counterintuitive, because it's like, she doesn't deserve it. We should just give it to her to, like, prop
her up. But see,
if
she won the tie, she would have deserved it, and it would have propped up women in country. So, like, yes, technically, like, she would have cheated a little bit. But I just think, like, they could have just given it to her.
Yeah. I mean, at first I was like, ugh, that's so, like, lame. Like, a tie. But if the academics voted and there really was a tie, I doubt, like, this was some sort of, like, move on their part. Like, I think it comes off lame. I don't think they make, like, moves like this. I think the Academy of Country Music, like, is the Academy of Country Music. They don't just give awards based on popularity and, like, who's going to show up and what it means.
No, they definitely don't.
And so that's why I just think it was a tie.
I'm not happy about it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's pretty lame.
It's lame. And I just feel like not only does Carrie Underwood, like, unequivocally deserve it for this year, last year, and the year before, I just think it also sends a great message to finally, like, acknowledge and not to give a woman, like, a half an award.
Yeah. Well, she got the whole one. They both got.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Female Artist of the Year was Maren Morris.
I was shocked by that, but not unhappy.
Not unhappy. They were all the Artist of the Year to me. Male Artist of the Year, Luke Combs.
Duo of the Year,
Dan and Shay.
Duh.
Group of the Year, Old Dominion.
Okay, Old Dominion got so much respect at the ACMs last night. And when I turned it on, it was in the middle of their performance. And I was just, like, thrilled to see them. I forgot, like, how good looking they all are, and I just, like, love them so much, and I feel like they're, like, my favorite band, I think I would say.
Yeah, they're so great. And when they were singing songs that, like, weren't even my favorite songs, that I never, like, saved to Spotify, but, like, I knew the songs and I was like, now I need to save it. My favorite group is still Lady A. I think that they have just been snubbed this year because they put out, like, such a great album, but I think Old Dominion completely earned that award.
Agreed.
New Female Artist of the Year, Tennille Towns.
Love her.
Love her. Did you watch her performance?
Yes, I did. It was not.
It was. I was just like good. So excited. I was like, when she was just like a woman standing on the stage with her guitar, I was like,
she sings somebody's daughter.
I was like,
right?
This is going to be, yeah, I was like, this is going to be like a performance that we just are all looking back on when this girl like blows up. And
she was nervous.
Yeah, but it was still good. I like that song.
Me too.
New Male Artist of the Year, Riley Green, Cutie.
Okay, so I was watching with my friends Nikki and Jordan.
I can't believe Riley Green beat Morgan Wallen. Like, to me,
I can't believe Morgan Wallen is still new artist.
Put some respect on his name. Like, I was shocked to see that.
I was shocked not only to see him sing Whiskey Glasses again, like sing Seven Summers, but also that he's still in the new male artist category. It's weird. Also, I feel like Riley, and by the way, this is not meant to be a slight in any way, because I actually love his music and I think he's like the hottest man alive, who looks so much like a young Brett Eldridge. I feel like he's a he reminds me of Meghan Trainor, where it's like the industry is trying to make him famous. Like, literally, I've never sought out his music, and somehow I know it. It's like it's always coming up on my Spotify, on Music Choice, like on the radio. I just feel like there is a machine behind Riley Green.
Oh, interesting. I had never, aside from like Grandpa's, I Wish Grandpa's Never Die, which I really like that song. I never like heard or thought of him again. And then he was performing last night. I like picked my head up because I recognized the song. I was like, stud. What song is this? And I was like, and who is that?
Stud.
Album of the Year, What You See Is What You Get by Luke Combs.
Of course.
Which was the album of the year. Single of the Year, God's Country by Blake Shelton.
Deserved, even though I actually despise that song.
Oh, I love it.
No.
God's Country.
It's like a little too much for me.
But at the end of his speech when he was like, I think he thanked God, and I was like, for making this country.
Right. Thank you, God, and your country.
Song of the Year, One Man Band by Old Dominion.
I thought that was an interesting choice. Yeah. I mean, it was a great song, but I don't know if it was Song of the Year.
But I also think that like the ones that were nominated just didn't speak to me. Video of the Year, Remember You Young by Thomas Rhett.
Ugh, which then, actually, I know we just like took a massive dump on Thomas Rhett.
That song is really beautiful.
And the video, like Margot made me watch it and she was like watching me cry. It was literally beautiful. I take back a lot of what I said about Thomas Rhett. That song is like sickeningly beautiful.
It is. And so I'm glad that it got the respect that it deserved. They didn't do so many award giving out speeches last night. It was really so many performances. So let's talk about some of our favorites.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like I showed up for Taylor Swift and she over delivered. Like, first of all, that song is so sensational. And what warms the cockles of my Swifty heart is Taylor Swift and a guitar. Like, that's how she started. Like, it's just, that's my true, and all the other accoutrements are fabulous, but all I really need in this life is Taylor Swift singing acoustic with a guitar. I love Betty. It is my favorite song, and her being at the ACM, just like the meaning, it was so there for me.
She sounded amazing.
Unbelievable.
The visual, the lights.
There was no frou-frou, like.
It was stunning. It was, the performance was a 10 out of 10.
But you know my RDH has been acting up, and I would legitimately be remiss, devastated, and genuinely heartbroken if I didn't address the outfit. If I didn't address the equestrian pants and the sequin long sleeve shirt. Like, oh, and if I didn't address, I'm sorry, the bangs.
The bangs.
By the way, someone needs to make a TikTok with her bangs and use the TikTok song. Not the bangs. Okay, I'm going to do that later.
I guess that hairstyle is her vibe for this era.
Yes, like, we know that every era she has a signature hairstyle. So if you look back on pictures, you'll be able to tell exactly what time period it was because of the hairstyle, which is an iconic move.
An iconic move. I hate this hairstyle.
Hate!
Hate, hate, hate. And it couldn't have matched less with the sequin Atlantic City top.
No,
which did not match
the Malibu Ranch pants.
Yeah. It was so strange.
No. First, like, and she is glamorous, like, to the nth degree. I feel like no stone is left unturned with her looks. Like, it's always, like, 10 out of 10, best of the best. Some of my favorite looks. But, like, it's, like, literally, like, someone took over her body and put that outfit on because I don't believe she would ever walk out of her house in that. Like, it was shocking.
No, it was so disturbing. And I saw that the whole outfit is Stella McCartney because, you know, they partnered and stuff.
Yeah.
And if, like, I just don't know what happened.
Honestly, like shame on you, Stella McCartney, like for even creating something that ugly.
And like putting it in front of Taylor and like make, like.
You know, it's hard. Like you shop designer and then like you see it and it's like, just because something has a Fendi tag, like it could be ugly, but like you don't know because it's Fendi.
Yeah, when you love a designer so much, like sometimes you can't see if it's ugly or not.
Right, you can't see out of the designer haze.
Yeah.
And I feel as though that's what happened to Taylor. I hope so.
No, it was, it's so crazy because, like, thinking about her coming back to the ACMs for first time in 7 years, like, performing this country song, like, there's so many cute things, like, she could have done and worn, like, just subtle, and that was just, and you know what, sometimes, like, a celebrity or an artist wears something that I don't understand fully at the time.
Yes.
But it grows on me over time.
I don't think that this will.
I know for a fact that this won't.
But other outfits, I thought that Kelsea Ballerini looked so amazingly, sickeningly stunning in her performance dress. And she did an Instagram story, like, had so much fun at the ACMs. And I literally responded, and I'm like, you looked sickening. She goes, oh my God, I did. Is that bad?
Oh my God, I'm stop.
Like, sweetie, no, it's good.
No, she literally, it was funny because I was like thinking about the outfits. I feel like for men in country music, like it's, you know, very standard. Standard hat, boots. And I was like, for a female country artist in 2020, like the look is changing.
Yes.
But, you know, there's still those big things that a country artist like loves to wear. And I thought that Kelsea Ballerini was like the perfect pop country star last yes. night. And I thought also Maren Morris, while she went in a totally different direction, like more of like a retro look, mm-hmm. I thought she looked fantastic.
Okay. And I feel like Carrie Underwood, when she did that
that
medley,
little dress,
awful.
The ankle.
Awful. I knew you were going to like it, and I literally hated it so much. Like,
oh my God, when first of all, little ankles poking out.
There is a special place in hell for dresses that length. Like,
oh my God,
either
no.
go, it needs to either go above your knee,
no.
between your knee and your ankle, or just to the floor. Like, this little teacup, I hate.
Oh my God.
Teacup dresses.
I loved her dress. The silhouette is just like so June Carter Cash, like so stunning.
Gross.
So
I hated
stunning.
It. Hated it.
Oh my God. I loved it.
I hate those dresses. Like maybe like the most sickening, like, no, I can't even think of an instance where I would think that that's an appropriate dress. Like I hate teacup dresses.
That is so crazy.
But it's so you.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about my favorite performances aside from Taylor Swift, who was just like a marvel, but I loved Luke Combs, obviously, always. Morgan Wallen, like, I absolutely love him. Like, I have a crush on him. I think he's so cute.
So much presence.
And, like, the mullet is just iconic.
Iconic. And the denim, like, duds.
But I thought the best performance was someone who I've never even noticed, like, in my career as a fan of country music. I was so, like, I didn't even know the song, but he was just so good. Eric Church.
By the way, like, welcome to the club. Like, everyone knows Eric
no,
Church.
No, Eric,
like,
everyone knows Eric Church, but, like, he just made such an impact on me. Like, and you know what I think it was? I think... because he wears the sunglasses and there's no audience. So I think a lot of the performers like didn't really know where to look and where they were all amazing. But there's a little awkwardness when you're performing to 100%. An empty room. But because he was wearing sunglasses, he didn't have to look anywhere. And he just like was really into it. And the woman singing with him. And I just thought it was like incredible.
Yeah. You know, Eric Church. I mean, I was on Twitter like wanting to see people's reactions to the Entertainer of the Year. And like a lot of people were up in arms that Eric Church like constantly gets like slighted because he's not really into the fame aspect of music. He's just into the music. And apparently like he puts on 3-hour concerts like multiple nights in a row, like, and loves his fans so much. And he's just like this icon. He reminds me a lot like and him and like his following remind me of like Bruce Springsteen, like how people like die for him. And like Garth Brooks also, where it's okay. Like the concerts are like these religious experiences.
Yeah, like Grateful Dead.
And I feel like we should, right, exactly. And I feel like we should get into Eric Church because, I mean, I used to listen to Eric Church like when I first started like listening to country, like Springsteen. Oh, he actually has a song called Springsteen. Maybe that's why they remind me of each other. But I agree. I thought his performance was great and a lot of people were really upset that he didn't win Entertainer of the Year because he's been nominated 3 times and has never won.
I was just like so impressed. And I've seen him around on the circuit before.
Of
you
course.
Know? I think we even saw him perform at Stagecoach. I just thought his performance was so good. And also Miranda Lambert, like, was so cute and so, and I loved her outfit too. And like they all the like big women in country, like we're all wearing like country pop outfits, but they were all so different from one another. And I just thought it was interesting.
Cool. I have said this before. I've completely done a 180 on Miranda Lambert. Like I love her and I love her new music and I loved her outfit and I love that she was at the Bluebird. Like I
singing Bluebirds.
Right. No, it wasn't, the meaning was not lost on me whatsoever. And I can't apologize enough for ever having said like anything bad about Miranda Lambert because I love her.
Yeah, no, it was a really interesting night and it felt as close to normal as we've gotten in a while.
That's exactly what it was.
Oh, and I loved Kane Brown's performance and I loved how he used the empty audience to have like background singers. And I hadn't heard that song before and it was so beautiful, but I loved like how he used the space.
Oh my God, you haven't heard that song? It's all over the place. Snitch showed it to me.
Yeah, and also like I just listened to my saved songs over and over again.
If it weren't for you and Margot, like I would literally never have evolved past like Red Taylor Swift. Like I don't listen to new music.
But now I've been recently listening to my daily mixes on Spotify, which I owe, like they're such a great thing that they do. They make you like a personalized mix every day. And they put my favorites in there and then other things they think I'll like. And that's really how I find new music. But it's like sometimes old music.
Do you happen to have a story about Amazon Music today?
No.
Okay, so did you know Amazon Music launched podcast?
No.
So I downloaded the app to see if The Toast was on there, and it is. So you can now listen to podcasts on Amazon Music, which is just an interesting fact, and The Toast is on there.
You guys, the streaming wars are catching up with the podcast industry, and I just think it's going to be like the craziness.
No, I know, and I'm just like so glad to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Okay, so that's
more places for you to consume the toast. We'd love to see it.
We absolutely love to see it.
So those were the ACMs. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I just like really, really, really enjoyed it, which is so rare.
Yeah, me too.
It's Selena Gomez. Rare.
Rare. Okay, next up, really big story today. Emily Ratajkowski accuses photographer Jonathan Leder in an essay about abuse of power. So Emily Ratajkowski wrote an essay on Tuesday for New York Magazine's The Cut about abuse of power, and in it she details a 2012 nude photo shoot at photographer Jonathan Leder's home that she says turned physical. Ooh. So I read the essay that she wrote, and it was so moving and the story is so crazy. So it's called Buying Myself Back. And in the beginning, she talks about like image rights for celebrities, how, you know, they get sued by...
It's crazy.
...by companies when they post paparazzi photos of themselves and like they don't even own their own image. And then she was also talking about how an artist, Richard Prince, I think, like he makes art where he comments on celebrities' Instagrams like something like kind of crazy and then like pretty much like paints it or screenshots it and then like sells it. And
that's crazy.
Yeah. And she was a subject of two of the pieces and like everyone was telling her like this is such a big deal, and so she wound up buying one with her boyfriend at the time, who when they broke up, like he tried to keep one of the pieces that she was gifted. And like again, she's just always like fighting to own herself. Exactly. Then she told a story about how when before she was in Blurred Lines or Gone Girl, and mm-hmm. she was an up-and-coming model, her agent sent her on a shoot to the Catskills with this photographer Jonathan Leder, and it was like a very like an uncomfortable shooting experience for her. Like there was a lot of alcohol involved, and he was just like a freak, honestly.
Yeah.
And there was like a sexual incident between the two of them, and the pictures were just like kind of provocative, and he wanted like she was nude in some of them, and it was for a magazine, and the pictures wound up in the magazine, and that was that. And then once she became this huge household name, he took all of the Polaroids from that shoot and started selling books like Emily Ratajkowski, and she like was trying to get him to stop because those are her images that her agent never signed that they could be used however you want. Like they could be used for that magazine at that time.
Specifically.
And so she tried to like go, you know, stop him from doing it. And then it became like this whole story. The pictures Emily Ratajkowski doesn't want you to see.
Oh God.
He printed the book, like three separate editions of the book. And the it's just this like misuse of her image that she doesn't own, and she's just like trying, like speaking out finally on what happened between the two of them. Like one, I think I'd never heard this story about like these images of her being used.
Me neither.
In this way. So I think she was telling her story on that, like mm-hmm. why it's so wrong, why he even used those images,
right.
and also what happened between the two of them while they were shooting, and he really abused his power. She's like a young up-and-coming model, and
just trying to like do what she thought she had to do,
and you know, try to be like she said, you know, you never know who's they're shooting with after, like you want them to like you and
right.
and say that you're easy to work with. Mm-hmm. So it was really a disturbing story, and now people are talking about this guy.
And then I also saw that this woman posted on Instagram who was married to him briefly in like the early 2000s, like praising Emily Ratajkowski, just kind of, I guess, like corroborating her story, saying like that there was like some really tumultuous things that happened in the marriage, like beyond like he was having an affair and just like this abusive vibe. And it was actually a really powerful Instagram post. I really liked it.
Yeah. So she says that she remembers Jonathan Leder's fingers being inside of her, explaining that the action hurt and that she pulled his fingers out with force. She said she didn't say anything afterwards, but that Leder stood up abruptly and left to go upstairs. In a statement to USA Today on Wednesday, Heather Tynan, editorial director of his Imperial Publishing Company, said he completely denies her outrageous, libelous allegations of being, quote, assaulted.
Ugh, you know, fuck off. Like, just don't say anything. You're an animal. Don't now accuse her of lying. Like, that's so morally corrupt.
So morally corrupt.
Faye
Resnick. And, like, the stuff with, like, and it really is a problem, like,
with the rights,
image rights. Like, I know the celebrities posting Instagrams of themselves, like, I'm sure that's really, like, fucking annoying. But, like,
no, by the way,
fact that
crazy.
He can use these photos of her that she didn't never like signed off of and being used in this way and like profiting off of her image
mm-hmm.
is so sick.
So
and
corrupt.
There has to be
a better way
around, like you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the paparazzi thing is so crazy. Like, Gigi Hadid recently had to pay a paparazzi $150,000 because she posted a picture of herself that he literally took, like, as he was getting in her personal space. Like, to me, that just makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same thing. It's like the fact that you're in the picture, like, means nothing.
Yeah.
It could be anyone because you have absolutely no rights.
Yeah. So
that's crazy. Well, people are really responding, I feel like, very positively to this Emily Ratajkowski story. And I think it's great. I think it was a great platform for, she's a good writer, like a good platform for her to tell her story.
Yeah, I agree. So I hope that, I don't know if she's going to continue to pursue like him ceasing and desisting right. production of these books. But I hope that if she does, that she gets the outcome that is fair.
I also really hope that like the fashion industry and like the modeling industry like follows suit and like stops working with this photographer, because there have been like crazy allegations to a lot of very high profile fashion photographers whose careers go seemingly unfazed. You know, it's like they're still at Vogue, they're still doing this big shoot, Met Gala. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What? And it's like really disappointing. So I feel like this is such a big story. I really hope that there are some like ramifications, because he shouldn't be in the same room as young models.
Yes.
Like ever again.
Ever again. Next story. Also, this is just like crazy. Kanye West posts a video of himself peeing on one of his Grammys.
Yeah, I saw.
So Kanye's taken to Twitter again, and he gave one of his Grammys a golden shower in the midst of what Page Six calls a Twitter meltdown. But, you know, that's a subjective term on Wednesday. The rapper tossed one of his 21 trophies into the toilet and peed all over it. Trust me, I won't stop, he captioned the video, which he shared on Twitter after publishing screenshots of his contract with Def Jam Music Group, which is a subsidiary of Universal. So he is trying to help artists get their masters back.
He's specifically trying to own his own masters, which, like, the irony here of, like, this whole thing, like, as a Taylor Swift, Kanye West, I mean, Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian, like, equalizer, the irony is not lost on me here.
Yeah, but he said, the artist deserves to own our own masters. Artists are starving without tours. I'm gonna go get our masters for all artists. Pray for me.
Okay, I just, like, it's really hard for me not to, like, make this about Taylor Swift.
And they need to team up.
They need to team up, but I do find it interesting, and I'm going to continue to, like, look out for, like, how the media and the public responds to Kanye going this route, you know, like, Twitter rampages and peeing on his Grammys, whereas I feel like Taylor Swift, like, was made to seem like she was insane when she was, like, literally just, like, being so civilized.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see.
I mean, I don't think that this is going to get any more respect than...
No. But I feel like it highlights not only the fact that this is a major issue for artists, but like how Taylor Swift, in my opinion, like went about it in a very mature, civil way when like people were giving her shit for being annoying.
Yeah. I don't know if it was like super mature and civil, because she had the opportunity to buy them back and then she didn't. And it just became like, you know.
But okay, so
like technically, Twitter draw, like
technically, according to Taylor, like she never had an opportunity to buy them back in a fair way.
So she had an opportunity, it just wasn't fair?
She had to do... It was like labor. She had to give them an album to buy one back. So literally, she would have had to produce 7 more albums in order to get her albums back.
She couldn't have ever... Wasn't there like a... Whatever Scooter Braun paid.
That offer was never made to her.
Okay.
The only offer, Scott said, stay with me for 1 more album, then I'll give you 1 album, then do another one. So 7 for 7.
Got it. I don't know if this is going to work, but I do think that...
I don't think it's going to work.
That he makes a good point that... And he said this before, that pretty much like the way that artists... Unless you're like, you know... seeing ahead of things and planning and hiring your own people, like the way that artists are set up, it's like you're making a lot of money from your albums and your tours, but they also have you paying like your managers and your agents and all these other fees. And like, remember when he said like when Kanye was like broke and he restructured his whole business. But I guess without tours, like artists, they don't own their music and like they're struggling.
You know, like, it's an interesting thing, relatively.
Making
but like
less money.
The music industry is structured in a specific way to not only keep the artist at like an arm's length from like the real money that they're making, but also that they can never own anything they do. And like, that's what a lot of artists, most notably Taylor Swift, have been talking about for so long. And this is like kind of similar, well, actually not at all, but it's just like a common thread. And there are a lot of artists who like speak up about it and like leave their, like Chance the Rapper doesn't have a label. It's not so common, but I feel like now with the absence of touring, it might be a little bit more obvious like how much artists are being duped from the amount of money that they're generating.
Yeah, but then they do sign these contracts when they're coming up, because when they're 15. Wouldn't be generating that amount of money if this particular record label didn't take a chance on them and put all these marketing dollars into them. So it's definitely like an interesting business issue for these artists. I don't know.
It's like hard to feel bad for pop stars because like, oh, sorry, you're living in a $4 million mansion when you could be living in an $8 million mansion. Like, it's really hard to feel bad for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like business ethics. Like, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong.
Yeah. And I think that everyone could be still making money, but there should be a restructuring because maybe this was like how it started the business, but like,
right, like things have changed
today with like streaming services, and it's not like you're buying albums, and maybe it's just time for some restructuring.
Agreed.
So maybe that's what Kanye's trying to say.
For sure.
Next up, some more music news, sort of. Kacey Musgraves reaches a divorce settlement with her ex, Rustin Kelly. Looks like she'll have some new heartbreak songs on her next album. Kacey Musgraves and Rustin Kelly finally reached a settlement in their divorce, TMZ reported on Wednesday. As part of the settlement, Musgraves and Kelly put their home on the market. When it sells, Kacey will get 84.4% of the proceeds, and Rustin will get the rest. I'm sure she paid 84% when they bought it, and then...
By the way, like, that's just crazy. Like, I'm so curious into the financial logistics behind, like, celebrity couples. Like, because each celebrity themselves, no matter how big or small, is, like, their own industry. So it's, like, celebrity marriages are always complicated. And, like, it just, like, makes me, like, interested to know that she paid 84% of the house.
And they agreed to enforce their prenuptial agreement. So all they need to do is have a judge sign off on the divorce. So this seems, like, as amicable and clean as it gets, you know?
Wow, that's like fast and easy.
Yeah.
Wow, prenup.
And it doesn't sound like either one of them is like contesting it or asking for stuff, so.
Asking for like alimony.
So that book will be closed soon.
That's fast. Clean divorces are the best, you know? Just wash your hands and get out.
Wash your hands and get out. I really miss Kacey. Like,
me too.
Last night's ACMs just, it definitely had a Kacey-sized hole.
There was like a glaring hole from her absence.
Yeah, and like with all of the like, country pop queens, like everyone with their vibe, like we were missing the Kacey vibe.
Oh, a performance we didn't talk about was Pink and Keith Urban.
Oh, that's when I turned it off.
That's because I didn't know that song, but I love the combo, and I love how Pink respects the fuck out of country music.
But that wasn't live, was it?
No, it was like on a green screen. They weren't even together.
Yeah, like I think they filmed it like a few days
in their houses.
Ago. Yeah, that's actually why I turned it off. So now I don't feel bad for being right about the VMAs. I don't like that shit.
Yeah, pre-recorded is annoying. Like, just put it on YouTube.
It felt like I was watching a video game.
Yeah, no, it felt like you're watching like a YouTube video, music video.
Yeah. A bad one.
Yeah.
Fifth and final story, one of our favorite people here at The Toast is releasing a food memoir. Stanley Tucci. It will be titled Taste.
What?
My Life Through Food.
Oh my God. Okay, well, Stanley Tucci is iconic for so many things, but I didn't know his cooking was one of those things.
Stanley Tucci has a full plate ahead of him. The award-winning actor, 59, who once sat next to Jackie on a plane.
No, he didn't. Oh my God. It was not Stanley Tucci.
It was working. You're just jealous.
Stanley Tucci. Okay, first of all, we were in L.A., for the Oscars.
Uh-huh.
He was there. We were flying back to New York. You don't go to the Oscars and then fly back coach exit row next to Jackie on the way back.
Stanley, it was, by the way, like it was definitely extra leg room. And he's just a regular guy. You know, he doesn't want like to be, he said, like, I just don't want to be like
Jackie treated. Was texting us. Oh my God, I'm next to Stanley Tucci. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We landed, we got the text, and we got up to exit. And she was like, that's him. And we were like, are you fucking serious? It was not Stanley Tucci.
Okay. Maybe you're right. But you know who I think it actually really might have been?
Who?
That guy from The Kingsman who sings Take Me Home Country Road when the thing explodes.
By the way, 1,000% that was him.
Yeah.
What's his name? By the way, that guy was such a hero.
Oh my God. His name, what was it in Kingsman? Kingsman cast.
I feel like he's from something else too.
He's from a lot of things. Okay. Yeah. His name is, he was Merlin. Mark Strong.
And what else is he in?
I'm about to tell you.
By the way, that's such a good call. Like, that's who it was. He's Family Fucci.
He is Family Fucci.
He gets all the roles at Stanley Tucci, like, his schedule conflicts.
Okay, he's in, like, a lot of things that we didn't see. Oh, he's in Zero Dark Thirty, but I don't remember him from that. He's definitely, like, from something specific.
Kingsman.
But, like, there are so many movies here, like Sherlock Holmes, Shazam, The Green Lantern, Brothers Grimsby, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, 1917, Imitation Game, but like we didn't see any of those.
Yeah. Well, whatever, by the way, that is who you were sitting next to. But back to Stanley Tucci.
He's back writing to a cookbook. Stanley Tucci. He's writing a cookbook titled Taste My Life Through Food. It's described as an intimate and charming reflection of Tucci's life and relationship to food. It will feature anecdotes and memories from his childhood in Westchester, New York, as well as...
Oh my God, Stanley Tucci's not from, like, London?
As well as his culinary experiences preparing for roles in foodie films like Big Night and Julie and Julia.
I don't know. This feels like a slight to actual chefs. Like, he played one on TV, no, and now he can like write a cookbook.
I feel like Stanley Tucci can garnish the hell out of things.
I have two, like, interesting facts about Stanley. Not interesting facts. Two of my favorite things about Stanley Tucci.
Okay.
One, he is related. I mean, he is married to Emily Blunt's sister.
Wow, that's beautiful, especially considering. Did they meet on the set of Devil Wears Prada?
Oh, I don't know. Yes. They did?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so cute. So him and John Krasinski are like related, which I just think is like an interesting thing.
That's a fun double date.
Yeah.
A very respectable double date.
And then my other favorite thing about Stanley Tucci was he was irrecognizable, and some people might not remember that he was the...
Lovely Bones.
I was literally going to say that. Yes, he was the villain in Lovely Bones, which is an amazing movie. And other people might not remember, that is also Saoirse Ronan's first big break.
Yeah, Saoirse Ronan. By the way, speaking of her, we watched Lady Bird.
Oh, we did. Well, over our trip, I couldn't believe that I was watching, like, the movie that had so much Oscar buzz. I guess I just assume when a movie has Oscar buzz, it's, like, boring and historical. But this was just, like a coming-of-age story. It could have been... It was literally, like, To All the Boys I Loved Before. Like,
you know what I realized? I absolutely loathe a coming-of-age story.
Oh, I disagree. I love a coming-of-age story.
No, like, because if that's what a coming-of-age story is, like, where nothing happens, we just watch someone, like, grow up
come
for
of age
6 months... Not interested.
Yeah, I just... Lady Bird really shocked me. I don't know why. I just thought it would be something more serious and, like, more...
Like,
good.
Moving. Good. I thought it would be moved.
Yeah, no. It was literally
I thought
just,
it would say something.
It was the kissing booth. Like,
it was so bad.
It was so bad.
Okay, listen to what Stanley Tucci has been in, because it's, like, respect.
Yeah.
Devil Wears Prada.
Of course.
Lovely Bones.
Of course.
Hunger Games. Remember, he's Cesar Millan.
Of course. Cesar Millan... Cesar Millan is the celebrity dog trainer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
he was
name,
the guy on the Capitol.
I know, but his name is Caesar in
that
movie.
His last name is not Millan.
That is so funny. Big Night, Julie and Julia, Captain America, Easy A. Oh, yeah, he plays Emma Stone's dad. Burlesque.
Oh, my God. What? We also watched that over our vacation.
X-P-R-E-S-S.
That's what you think of when you... When you hear burlesque?
I mean, I think of a million things.
I think of, yeah. Give it up, give it up. Give it up, give it up. This is not a test. Give it up, girl. Now get your ass up, show me how you burlesque. That is literally the best movie.
It's so good. We watch it like all the time.
Yeah, we watched it over vacation.
I mean, Cher comes dangerously close
to ruining it.
No,
no.
But
I think
Christina Aguilera and Stanley Tucci and...
Julianne Hough. And Kristen Bell.
And
Volchik.
Volchik, keep it on track.
Totally.
Yeah. But Cher, you tried us.
If you had one more solo song, like, the movie actually would have been turned off by me. But that one, we gave you one with the Cher. And I love how
she's, by the way, begrudgingly, yeah. Like...
My favorite scene in the movie is how, like, she's had a long night and the club is really weighing on her. They're having all these financial problems. And Stanley Tucci's like, sweetie, you got to run this number.
It's not even Stanley.
Oh, it's Terrence J. Also yes. Another yes. Great... addition in the cast. So Terrence J is like, Cher, we need you to run through this number. And she's like, but I'm tired. And then she's like, okay. And she sings this awful song on this chair and she's like so into it. It's just like, it comes really close to ruining the movie. You said it perfectly.
Yeah. He's also in Spotlight. Such a good movie. Have you seen it?
Of course I've seen Spotlight. An amazing movie.
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my God, of course. But his voice.
His voice. Yes, his voice.
But he comes to life at the end. Spoiler alert.
Made in Manhattan.
Oh my God, who like, is he in Made in Manhattan?
I don't know. There's just so many good
He's
movies.
Such an iconic actor.
He's like, in Kit Kittredge in American Girl.
What?
Wow. He's
a There's an American Girl movie?
Yeah, I saw it.
Was
it's
it good?
Like, it's okay, because they're like, it's kind of like historical fiction, because they're
right.
Like...
they're like all have been through war.
Yeah, and I think Kit is like a Depression era kid. And so it's a lot.
That's like a funny thing about, I loved American Girl dolls. We had, and it was like so, such an exciting thing. And like, you really identified with your American Girl doll. But I always forget that they had like a historical background. Like, some of them were like literally like World War II veterans. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Kit was mine. That's why I saw the movie.
I was Molly. And
it was
really,
Abigail Breslin. She
was
Kit? Yeah.
Abigail Breslin as a child literally is such an icon. Like, Little Miss Sunshine will literally never not be an incredible movie.
No, Abigail Breslin as a child has, like, the best roster of films. Like, some of the best things I've ever seen.
Agreed. Oh, my God, that's so funny.
So, yeah, Stanley Tucci writing a food book.
Are you going to get it? I think you are.
I don't think so. I've never bought a celebrity, like, food book because I never knew how to cook until yesterday. And so I think that if I did buy one, I don't even know whose I would buy first, but it wouldn't be Stanley's, honestly. Because I think his recipes are probably, like, really fancy and, you know, I just want some, like, good cooking.
It's probably, like, Chrissy Teigen cravings.
Yeah, probably.
That's funny. Like, you don't buy celebrity cookbooks. I exclusively only buy, like, celebrity books. I'm also going to start Naya Rivera's book. Did I tell you that? I've heard it's great, and there's some good Glee gossip in there.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's my next journey.
Oh, that's good. That'll be good.
Okay, let's dive into TV recap, because Beverly Hills was on last night, and it was infuriating. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was sad.
It was so sad to see Denise go out that way with a tear in her eye.
And to be honest, like, I know that even before the season aired, like, this Brandy Denise drama was, like, so hyped up and it was supposed to be, like, this salacious thing, but it never gave me that. And every time they talked about it, I just, like, rolled my eyes. I would have talked about literally anything else. And the whole episode, because if they saved the best for the third, the whole episode last night was about Brandy Denise. And it was like, we're so beyond the point of...
But also, so was the last episode. So it was weird. They kept, like, coming back to it. And then when we finally felt like we put it to bed, we talked about something else. And then Andy was like, Rinna and Denise, why aren't you friends anymore? And it's like,
really? Yeah, it was, like, choppy. Honestly, I just, like, love Garcelle, and, like, I love how she protects Denise. And, like, I feel like she's such a good friend. And I hope her and Denise stay friends, like, even though Denise is not coming back.
I was so glad she called out Rinna when Rinna was like, you should have come to me as a friend. And it's like, what part of anything that you did this season would make Denise think you were her friend?
No, literally, Garcelle was the Rinna police, and I was living for it. Like,
if Denise had come to Rinna and said, Rinna, listen, I did this. I can't be talking about it. Like, I have to protect my family. Please, like, help me.
Yeah.
At the reunion, Rinna would have said, but you told me that it was true.
100%. Rinna has proved to be literally the least loyal friend. And the fact that she, like, expects everyone to come to her and, like, finds fault in them for not confiding in her. It's like, you're literally the last person on planet Earth any of these women should ever confide in.
Right. And, like, Rinna... Okay, let's play devil's advocate and say, like, Rinna's really just a truth warrior and right. wants to get to the truth, but also is a really 20 years good friend to Denise and wants to be a good friend. Why'd you print the text messages? Like, that's above and beyond. Also, Rinna's smoking gun in this situation is that the text messages don't equal what Denise described their friendship as.
As an acquaintance.
And I'm sorry, but that's just not hard evidence.
No, by the way.
That doesn't show me without a shadow of a doubt that everything that Brandy said is true.
No, see, like, what I find so frustrating about this is, like, I do believe Brandy. Like, to be honest, like, I do. And I still take Denise's side because at the end of the day, it's nobody's business. So, like, the women are, like, truth warriors. Like, they're so, you know, hell-bent on finding out the truth when it's, like, I don't even care about the truth. I think you're a piece of shit for trying to find out the truth. Like, it's not your business.
Yeah, and Rinna said a few times, like, whenever it would be, like, thrown back at her, like, why are you doing this? She was like, it's not about me. And it's like, then why are you in the middle of it? And, like, how did it become, like, Rinna versus Denise when it was, like, Teddy and Kyle's tea to begin with? You know, well, like, so Rinna just inserted herself and, like, was so excited and so happy to take down Denise and, like, show that she's a hypocrite. And I think Rinna's theory that Denise, like, wanted to change her image from the prior season... While I understand that it sounds nice, like, I don't believe it at all. And you know what makes me realize that is Denise's tagline this season was, like, I may not, like, have a fairy tale, but I always get a happy ending. And it's like, if she was trying to move away from that, like, she wouldn't be saying it in the beginning of every episode.
Yeah, no, I just don't know what Lisa Rinna's motives were. And it's like, she just wants to be a bad friend to everyone. And I've turned on her so completely. And I was so, like... I wasn't even, like, angry. I was, like, upset watching last night's episode. Because not only is Denise, like, a respectable woman who got, like, fucking bamboozled by this group, I feel like I'm alone in that thinking. I feel like everyone is just obsessed with, like, the inconsistency in Denise's lies. Because Denise's lies are all over the place, and she's obviously lying. But it's not about the truth. It's not your fucking business.
It's about the way that you treat your friends. And, like, it's not like there's this rumor going around that Denise, like, murdered someone.
Right. Like, did you also, do you remember in the episode when they were talking about that scene at Kyle's barbecue where Denise and Aaron left and Aaron, like, squeezed her hand mm-hmm. and was like, don't tell me to shut up. I'm going to rip your hand off or whatever.
I'm going to crush your hand.
And everyone was like all worried that it was like a toxic behavior. Like, honestly, I didn't think there was, maybe I just read it differently. Like, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. Like, I think he was saying like, I'm so mad, I'm going to crush your hand. Like, not like I'm going to
I
thought everyone was being like a little dramatic.
I thought that that statement was a little
it was a little weird for sure.
Scary.
But I didn't find it scary. Like, even when I hadn't noticed it on the show, but when they highlighted it, I didn't really, it didn't alarm me until all the women were like, I was worried.
I'm were? Everyone takes everything that Denise is saying now like so literally. When she was like, Aaron's watched that and he was like, I'm scared of you. And then Andy was like,
why is he scared of you?
Yeah, it's like,
totally. I like, if I were Denise, I would obviously not return, but
you,
like, I really
can't speak in hyperbole. Like, you can't,
right?
Only, but only for Denise, because right, everyone else is just like
crazy
all over the place. And by the way, if they say open and honest one more time, it's infuriating.
So I'm like 100% turned on Kyle. I'm like, I'm sorry, on Ted. I'm 100% turned on Rinna, and I'm like 75% turned on Kyle. Like, I'm almost done with her.
Yeah, because it really did feel like she was like pulling all the puppet strings and then showed up to the reunion and been like, if you were just honest.
And like, honestly, not only do I find that be honest thing to be like so dumb, I also find it to be boring television. Like, that's, we're not true. This isn't the real truth tellers of Beverly Hills, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand like Rinna is now, every time she does something sort of out of line, she's like, we're on a TV show. But the way that Candace and Giselle handled telling Ashley like that news about her husband is like the exact
appropriate
way that they could have done that for 100%. Rinna, especially considering like Candace and Ashley aren't even friends, and Rinna and Denise are friends for 20 years. And then also Rinna brought up Heather Locklear.
Oh, okay, so that's when Denise started to cry, and they said Google it, which I did not, but
I did.
What does it say?
Okay, so Heather Locklear was married to Richie Sambora for like 11 years, and while Denise was married to Charlie Sheen, Heather Locklear and Charlie Sheen did a TV show together, so like the couples became friends.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Locklear and Richie Sambora divorced, and Denise started dating Richie. And I guess
while she was
like,
married to Charlie?
No, I think her and Charlie were over. But I guess like what Rinna was trying to say is like, and I think Heather Locklear has said this, that like Denise stole her husband, which Denise has said is not what happened. What happened,
she
said, was that I think Denise's mom had cancer at the time, and so did one of Richie's parents, and they like bonded over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a relationship bloomed from there. So I think Rinna was like just throwing out like this obviously painful thing where Denise lost a friend,
mm-hmm,
and just trying to make it seem like Denise is a friend loser.
No, just trying to make it seem like Denise is a bad friend. Like
a bad friend, proof, like a homewrecker, and right, this and that. And
well,
everything,
that's when she started to cry.
Right. And then I guess Brandy told like Daily Mail TV yesterday that Heather Locklear had like reached out to her over DM saying like, thank you for bringing the truth to light. Because like now Heather Locklear feels like vindicated because she's been trying to say that Denise stole her man.
I'm just like not here and for the like, Denise takedown. I don't know why, but I'm not.
No, I'm not. Especially when it's like apples and oranges. Like, okay, so whatever happened in the 90s.
10 years ago, yeah.
In the early 2000s, like, I'm watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now, and like I thought that was a low blow by Rinna.
100%.
And she obviously knew that's a sore subject for Denise, and Denise was like fucking shook.
I feel like Denise's experience on the show is going to really deter like real like C-list celebrities from potentially joining.
You know what? In general, that's fine by me because I'm never enthused about, I wasn't enthused about Eileen Davidson. I was not enthused about Lisa Rinna, and I wasn't enthused about Denise, and now I've come to love Denise.
I don't
Denise,
know if I would loop in Eileen Davidson in that.
No, but like her and Rinna came on together and they were both like D-list soap stars. They were literally on the same playing
that's
field
crazy
when they came on.
Yeah.
And so that's fine. I don't mind if some actresses don't want to come on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I like,
especially
finding,
if they
those
think that like they're playing by different rules.
Right. I like finding like those jewels, like those Sutton Strachs, like those just like quiet rich women.
Yeah, Garcelle.
Yeah.
Even though Garcelle's an actress.
Oh,
too.
True.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
But all in all, it was like a decent season. I could have used a lot less Brandy and Denise drama because it didn't end up giving me what I thought it was going to give me, like salacious, juicy gossip. Like, it ended up just being really, really sad.
And now that Denise is not coming back, like, it just feels like Rinna and co have won.
Well,
and
yeah,
that is just frustrating to me because then they'll continue to do this sort of thing where it's like, No one wanted to see that last night.
I don't think they need to replace Denise. I think they need to make Sutton like a full-time housewife, and I think the group is actually pretty solid.
Yeah, I agree.
We have New York on tonight, which is part two of the reunion. We didn't recap part one of the reunion, but we'll do it all tomorrow. But I actually really enjoyed the in-person reunion. It was just like a breath of fresh air, even though like it was a lame season. I was like still getting life from the reunion because we haven't had an in-person reunion in so long.
Yeah. And I was really glad Tinsley was there to finally shed some light on why she thinks Dorinda hates her, because that was literally the craziness.
And I guess we could just talk about it right now, but like the absolute disgrace of Bravo cutting out that footage from last season, when not only we found out that Scott lent money to John, which is crazy in and of itself, but that Dorinda threw such a fit that they literally had to get Tinsley out of the house because they were worried about her safety. Like,
yeah.
Why that was cut and we had to sit through that shitty ass season.
And then we have to sit through this whole season being like, why does Dorinda hate Tinsley? Did anything ever happen between the two of them?
And it's like this huge bombshell where they have footage. Like, that is honestly unforgivable.
And I feel like when they showed Dorinda's phone call, some of it sounded familiar. I think they used it in the promotion.
They did. When she's in the hallway on the phone with John.
And so it just makes me realize, like, some things do get taken out that are beyond
disparaging,
that are past the line. And so when Denise was asking Bravo to take it out, like, it wasn't beyond the realm of possibility.
Right. Yeah. I thought Andy, like, did a decent job at, like, being in the middle, but I think he could have protected Denise like a little bit more.
I agree.
Especially when, like, I feel like the whole premise of why I don't care about the affair is because at some point it's like you are outing Denise. Maybe she's not open if she is bisexual. And that's just like unethical to me. And like, that's where I draw the line. I thought maybe Andy would like understand and respect that, but he was just doing his job.
Yeah, it was not an easy job to do. So,
but the season's over. I'm gonna miss the Beverly Hills Housewives, but we have a lot of good stuff coming up. Orange County's premiering and Salt Lake City is like kind of close. And Joe Bitardi.
So exciting, you guys. So and keeping up tonight.
Oh, I forgot. I have to record. I'm so excited. Okay. Oh, it's my anniversary. I don't know when I'm going to watch all this stuff.
What? Oh, just New York and...
And Kardashians. Like, Ben will kill me. Okay, whatever. We have to figure out how to get screeners. Like, yeah. Can someone hit us up? Okay, so that is our show. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every morning on YouTube, Monday through Friday. So if you're watching this video on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox. And now we are also available on Amazon Music Podcasts. So check that out. And wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys so much. We hope you have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow for Friday.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.